Welcome to XP Ministries. This recording is under copyright laws and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. We pray that this recording will bless and empower you.
If you could turn in your lesson outlines to lesson five. We're going to be studying lesson five, the Word of God, which is our basis for experience in the glory. And as you're turning into your note outlines, I'll feature a few items on our resource table, or if you're watching by DVD, you can get these on our online bookstore. But these will be helpful for you. This one is called Opening Portals of Glory. And we'll be studying a little bit on this subject later in the class when we learn how to open up the heavens over our life and walk inside of this. But Steve and I did this particular CD one night in a worship session out in Maricopa. And as I taught, he played prophetically. And then we get the downloads of the glory and soak in it, and things would happen. So it is a tremendous soaking CD, as well as really good teaching and excellent prophetic worship. So that's called Opening Portals of Glory. And I want to recommend to you Ruth Ward Heflin's books on the glory. This is the first one she wrote. And I remember when I read this, I couldn't put it down. Although it was hard to read in some ways, it's very simply written, but it's difficult to get through it because you read a few pages and all of a sudden the glory hits you. So you have to, you know, take some time to bask in it before you go on. But you can't keep away from it. I couldn't put it down in that sense, but it took me a while to get through it all because it's like I kept getting hit by waves of glory. But this woman of God was well known for ushering in the glory presence to the nations. She's now amongst the great cloud of witnesses and glorifying Jesus in heaven. She's ascended and she doesn't descend anymore. But anyways, all of her books on the glory, she's got Golden Glory and Unifying Glory, and we have all of these on our resource table and our online bookstore. And the other ones that I would like to highly recommend to you is Bill Johnson's books. All of his books are good. But this one it especially is good. It's called When Heaven Invades Earth, and teaching us how to be a heavenly people in the midst of the world around us and how to bring heaven and the atmosphere of heaven into our lives. And, you know, if you can see it in heaven, you can have it in the earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to do a study on the Word of God right now. And in the light of the Word of God being our basis for experience in the glory. And earlier in one of our other sessions, we were talking about the Rhema word in the light of faith and the faith connection. It says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema word of God. And so there's the Logos word that you read about in Scripture, and there's the Rhema word. And the difference between the two of them is probably, well, there's many differences, but let me share just a couple of little insights here. Is the Logos word is often referring to a written word. And when you see Jesus being the Word, or referred to as the Word in Scripture, he's referred to as the Logos. And when you see the Holy Spirit referred to in the Word as the Word, like, for instance, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that word there is Rhema. And so there is this, both the Logos and the Rhema are living eternal. It's living eternal Word. It's not one is less than another. It's like they are both from God. It's the expression, the communication from God. And so it's good to know the Logos and to embrace the Scripture and to find the Rhema, the quickened word within that. Joanne McFadder, we were doing a glory school a number of years ago, and she began to sing a spontaneous prophetic song. And it was that the Rhema is hidden within the Logos. And so often that's true, is when you're studying through the Word of God, you're studying through the Scriptures, and that you'll find the rhema word, the quickened word that brings faith to your heart. So both the Logos and the rhema are words that we embrace, that we honor and adore and live our life by. It says in the Word of God that His Word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. And so when we're inside of spiritual encounter and experience, we don't just go off through the perimeters of the Word of God, but we stay within the perimeters and wait for the witness of the Spirit as well to make sure that we're walking within everything that God has for us. And so we'll find later that when we're evaluating the way that we hear the voice of God and the way that we judge a true spiritual encounter as being from the Lord, one of the ways is to make sure that it lines up with the counsel of the Word of God. It has to, although there's truth hidden within the Scriptures that we probably haven't seen yet. Behind every verse of Scripture, there are layers and layers and layers of revelation inside of it. And I like to say also is that the Word of God isn't mere print on a page, and neither is it language. We have our Bibles, of course, are written in English, but you can't read the Bible. You can't read this Bible with just an intellectual mind, an academic mind. How many of you tried to do that before you were born again? I tried every year. I tried to read this Bible every single year before I ever became a Christian, and I couldn't make any sense out of it. It made no sense to my mind. I started out in Genesis. I wasn't too bad. There were some good stories in there, but as you go on Exodus, it's okay. But man, when you get into Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, you know, some of the prophets and stuff like that, you think, what does all this mean? Because the Bible was never meant to really be academically understood. It is a spiritual book. The Scriptures are spiritual, and therefore if you try to approach them academically, you will miss, sometimes you'll miss truth. Many people have gone into religious error by studying the Bible academically. And so you need the confirmation of the Spirit of God as you're reading the Scriptures, and also to understand that even though we have the Bible in print form, we have the Scriptures in print form, that before it was ever printed, God had spoken this word, before it was ever put in print. So we always want the life of the word, and we want the life that's in the word, and to discover the layers of revelation that are within the word, because the word has to be revealed. And it's the revelation of that word that will build the faith in you. And there are scriptures that I've meditated on and read this year that I swear I never read before, and I've read the Bible many, many times, but it's like, where did that come from? I never saw that before. Even this week, I got a hold of one that I'd never seen before about the thousandfold return for those that, you know, that are blessed of the Lord. I thought, thousandfold return? I mean, I've been stuck on this 30, 60, 100. No more, man. I'm going for the thousandfold return. I saw it, it's mine, you know? And so God will reveal things to you at different times. And, you know, even though you've been a Christian many years, you might have never seen those particular ones in that light before, you know, just brushing over them. So we want to look for what the Spirit is saying. And the Word of God is also, I want you to get this concept in your heart, because so often when we read the Word and we take a verse, we sift it through our mind and we see it only as a concept or a philosophy rather than true substance. And that is the difference, I believe, between a Greek mindset and the Hebrew mindset, is in the Hebrew mindset, a word equals substance. So with the Hebrew mindset, the Hebrews would very carefully choose the names of their children. They would wait on the Lord until they got that name, because that name was a decree over that child, and the actual name represented the substance. So for instance, if your name, like my name is Patricia, and it means noble one. So if you chose the name Patricia, that meant that that child equaled noble one. Does that make sense? If you named a derogatory name over a child, then that child equaled that because that was the word, that was the name over them. They believed in substance. And so I think that we're very careless with words because we don't understand the power of the words. When you speak word, you're speaking spirit. You're speaking substance. But in our Greek understanding, we don't think that because we think it's just concepts or philosophies. But Jesus said this. He said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. Life being God's life. When you speak words, they are spirit, but they can be death also. They can be life or death. That's why James wrote about our words, like our whole life, the course of our life depends upon how we speak, what comes out of our mouth, because we set the course of our life on course by the words that are spoken. So word is very important, and it's substance. So if you can read your Bible, understanding that the word isn't just print and it's not just concept, but it's actual substance, it changes everything. So when you read a word, for example, that says, come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to receive grace to help in time of need, that's more than just a concept. That's more than just something that tickles your academic understanding. That is substance. That is a true invitation. When it says obtain mercy, that means mercy is a substance that you can literally obtain. Grace is something that you can literally receive. The word grace is not just a word. It equals the substance of what it represents. Does that make sense? Now, when you're in spiritual encounter, this is so important to understand because actually launching from the word can give you encounter. When you understand this, you can actually springboard into spiritual encounter and experience by starting with the Word of God. Oftentimes I hear people saying, well, I'm just waiting for God to come and visit me. Well, I think you don't have to wait. He's already visited. He's with you right now. He's with you, and He's given you the Word. So stand on that Word and launch into experience. When God says, I love you with an everlasting love, that's not just something that tickles the mind. That is literal spiritual substance. And you can stand on that and say, I am loved with an everlasting love. Everlasting love is filling me right now. The everlasting love of the Father is all over me. And it's not just mere word, but it's substance because that is the Word of God. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? So when I say everlasting love, it's not just a mental concept, it's a substance of love. How many of you have felt the actual atmosphere or substance of love? Did you know that you can create that substance with your words? You can create the atmosphere of it in a room. If you go into a room, and I'll just give you a little example here. We do a lot of conferences. God calls us to do it so we can get the word out to the body, and He gives us specific things to feed the body. And so we put the news out and gather people in and get everything prepared and stuff like that. And we use hotel rooms. We rent out hotel rooms. We don't have our own buildings. We rent out hotel buildings. And how many of you know that there has been things happening in hotel buildings that aren't necessarily holy or from God, authored by God? And when we come into the room, you can feel it. I'm very sensitive to atmosphere. And you can feel it in a room and think, you know, the atmosphere of heaven isn't in this place. And so the job of our intercessors, who are amazing, is to season the room until the atmosphere of heaven comes. And usually it takes a number of hours to season the room before we ever start a conference. And when you have to start in the morning instead of later on at night, you don't have as much time to season it. But it's like, I've found that it usually takes a number of hours to season a room. And one of the ways we season it is, of course, to have praise and worship, to get praise and worship into the atmosphere, but also decreeing the word of God. And so when we decree the word concerning angels, the Lord's presence, and the power of the blood of Jesus, and the coming forth of the Holy Spirit, all of that, when we decree that word, you can literally feel the atmosphere shift. And it gets to a certain point where you know, whoa, the glory's here. The glory's here. And it's because you've injected the word of God, which is more than just a concept, it's substance. You've injected it into the room and filled the room. If you, in your home, put the word of God on nonstop, like decrees of the word of God or scriptures going, you know, on one of those, you know, just keeps going around and around on your MP3 players and stuff like that, you will notice a remarkable difference in the atmosphere of your home because the word of God is substance. And when it says you are highly favored of the Lord, or the favor of the Lord surrounds you like a shield, you know, those promises are not just words or print on a page. It's substance. It's actual substance. So when you start thinking of the word as substance, it'll change your whole life. And so sometimes we will have a prayer time, and there's been times when the Lord has led us to take communion, but we didn't have any elements. Makes no difference, because in the Spirit we can have the elements, because the word equals substance. So when we read the word on it, and this is my body, this is my body, we just believe that the word itself is a substance of the body, and we eat of it. You know, this is my blood, and so we drink of it. We don't even need the natural substance, because the word equals substance. Does that make sense? When it says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, they will mount up with wings like eagles, that is a substance word. It's all substance. It's not just concept. So therefore, when you wait upon the Lord, you can receive the substance of the renewing of your strength and the mounting up above all that's making you weak. Mount up with wings. Well, I believe personally we have literally have invisible wings. You know? Just because something's invisible doesn't mean it's not real. Invisible things are very real, and we'll look at that in another lesson. But what I want you to get anchored in is the power of the Word of God, and that it is actual substance, not just concept. So when you are in a place of let's say you've read, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. And Christ, who is my identity, we talked earlier about there being two thrones in heaven. Someone was asking me about that over lunch. Jesus is fully God and fully man. You know that, right? He is God, but he is also man, because he left and became man so that he could cut covenant with us. He sits at the right hand of the Father, but Jesus is God and he is man. It's a great mystery. But what's so wonderful about it is this gospel of ours is so glorious that it's based on a covenant that can't be broken, because God did it with himself. He cut the covenant with himself. And that's why it's failure proof. And when we come into Christ, the man Christ Jesus, who is our Savior, we come into Christ, we are in that eternal unbreakable covenant. And it says in the scripture that Jesus the man, our Savior, sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. We are in him. We are in Christ. The Bible says that. So I can springboard into spiritual encounter by starting with the basis of the Word of God that says, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. When I say I am seated in heavenly places in Christ, again, I'm not speaking just a concept. I'm speaking substance. What does that mean then? It means I am. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. When God said to Moses, I am, he was speaking substance words. I am. It wasn't a concept. It just says, I am. So a lot of your wrestling with spiritual encounter can be settled just by springboarding off the Word of God. I have now come boldly before the throne of grace. I'm obtaining mercy and receiving grace to help in my time of need. Whoa. See, that's substance, not just concept. When you start thinking substance instead of concept, it'll change everything for you. Okay, let's look at the different attributes of the Word of God, because all spiritual experience must be rooted and grounded on the foundations and the plumb line of the Word of God. We are to be lovers of His Word and those who will cleave to it. One of the criticisms of some Christians concerning the glory outpouring and the supernatural experiences people are having is that they say, well, you know, it's just all experience driven. There's no word. There's no foundation. There's no word. And I've not seen that myself, to be honest with you. I've seen that most of the people that I know that move in the glory and the supernatural, they're total word lovers. I actually, myself, I am not familiar with any that I know personally that aren't lovers of the word. So, but if that is true, what they're saying, I just say, well, let's do everything we can to change it then. Let's all love the Word and the Spirit. It's together, the Word and the Spirit. It is the basis of the Word for our experience, and just move forward on that. So anyways, first of all, let's look at the attributes. The Word of God is eternal in the heavens. Jesus said the Word is eternal in the heavens. That means it's not able to shake. It's not able to dissolve. It's not able to dissipate in its power. When you stand on a promise that the Spirit has quickened to you, when you stand on a revelation of the Word of God, it is a done deal. It is an eternal thing. It will not weaken. It is not for today and then gone tomorrow. It is yours for eternity. And you can go to heaven standing on that word, knowing that it's a sure thing, because it's eternal in the heavens. Secondly, Jesus said, it is truth. He said, thy word is truth. So when you love the word and when you have the word in your heart, you have truth in your heart. And I want to say this, is that a lot of times people are afraid of being deceived. And they'll say things like, well, you got to watch out, you know, about those supernatural encounters and spiritual encounters. You got to be really careful about that supernatural realm because you could get deceived. We're so afraid of deception that if we remain in the fear, that fear will act like a magnet to deception and it'll come right on you. I'm not afraid of deception. I'm not afraid of being deceived. Why? Because the word is truth. Jesus said his word is truth. And if you remain in the word, then you don't have to fear deception. Not only that, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. Jesus said the Spirit, when he comes, he'll lead and guide you into all truth. And so if you're hungry for the Spirit of God and you commit yourself to him and you have faith to be kept in the truth, then you will be kept in the truth. But if you're afraid of falling into error, that fear will act like a magnet for error. Attach your faith to what the Word says about you, that the Spirit of truth will lead and guide you into all truth. He's not going to lead and guide you into error. Yes. Now, if you believe, if you have your faith attached to the truth, that he is the Spirit of truth and will lead you into to truth and not error, and your faith connects to that, then you are inside the reality of that substance, of that promise. You see how that works? Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. So when you see that and you lay hold of it, it's yours. That's what your faith will do. When you read the word and say, thy word is truth, wow. Thank you, Lord. I believe that your word is keeping me in truth. And if you're believing to be kept in truth, then you won't get into error. And don't let anyone frighten you. The devil's a liar. And sometimes people listen to his voice. You know, people will say over Jesus, he is deceived and he's deceiving the people. That's what they spoke over him. But he decreed that he was in the truth. I am the way, the truth and the light. And his confession of true eternal substance kept him in the truth. You have to know who you are. And if you hear people saying negative things about you being in deception or whatever, say, no, I am in the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm in him. His word is truth. His spirit is truth. I'm not accepting anything else. The voice of a stranger, I'm not going to listen to. And I'm not afraid of error. I'm not afraid of deception because my God will keep me in truth. His word is truth. Amen? Okay, thirdly, his word does not return void. And it says in Isaiah 55:11, that when his word goes out, it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes everything that it's sent to do. So when you proclaim the word of God, the substance that that word is goes out on its mission. You can actually send the word out on mission. Isn't that amazing? And when you're working in the realm of the Spirit, there's sometimes God will call you to decree a word over a household, over a city, whatever, and you can just feel it sometimes in the Spirit. You can feel the power of that and that you know something's been established because the word got sent forth and healed. That's why it says he sent forth his word and healed them. Because there's power in that word. It goes on a mission. And you'll find that when you're in the Spirit, you can sometimes proclaim the word that the Lord gives you to proclaim, and it'll be sent into a person's body to heal them or to deliver them. We were one time, I think it was Kim and I, actually, we were, somewhere back east. Where were we?
Alabama.
We were in Alabama. And we had felt some call to intercession for back here in Arizona. And so we just submit ourselves to the Spirit, and he took us in the Spirit into this place that we were interceding for in Arizona, and we made decrees into this place. And when we got back, we checked it out, and things had totally turned around in that particular location. Well, we weren't there in the natural, but we had released the word into that place to make an adjustment. That's how powerful the word is. It doesn't return void. That's why decrees of the word are very, very powerful. You get that little decree booklet and you start decreeing over yourself. I am the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm surrounded with favor as a shield. I've got the angels encamped around me. You start making those decrees and understanding that that word does not return void, but it goes forth and accomplishes the very substance that it represents. Wow. And the more you decree, the better it gets. More is better. It's like planting seed. We'll look at that one later too. Okay, next, it frames the will of God. In Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, when you send out word over your life, you can build a framework for the glory of God to come into your life. When we do pre-marriage counseling, although I don't do much of that anymore because we don't have time and I'm not pastoring or anything, but I'm just saying that so no one comes and says, would you marry me? I'm clearing myself there. But when we used to do weddings and that, when we were doing pre-marriage wedding counseling, marriage counseling, I would suggest to the couple getting married, I say, let's build a framework for your marriage before you ever step into it. And so we would draw this house. It was like, you know, a little house that represented their life together. And I said, you know, a house has foundations, it has, you know, a covering, it has rooms and walls. And I said, why don't you get together and decide together what kind of foundation do you want in your marriage? And look up the word of God. Find the word that you can agree on. Scripture promises that you can agree on and lay the foundation for your house. What kind of covering do you want over your house? Like, you know, the scripture says his banner over us is love and stuff like that. And Jehovah Nisi is our banner and our covering. What kind of banner do you want? What kind of covering do you want over your house? What kind of rooms do you want? You know, do you want, you know, like, what you know, do you want hospitality, friends, all these kind of things. Find out what you want. Discuss this together. Come into agreement. Go to the Lord. Find the scripture and build a framework out of the Word of God and begin to decree that framework. And so they would come back and we would write the scriptures on all the walls and the floors and the ceilings. It was fun, actually. It was good. And we would make these decrees together of these words and decree the foundation into place and decree the walls, decree the banner. And I said, you know, when we pronounce you man and wife, when you make the covenant and you come into agreement of the covenant terms and you make those vows to each other and we pronounce you man and wife, then at that moment you're stepping into what was framed by the Word of God. And you will have a blessed marriage because that word is over your house. That word is over your marriage. And you can do it with other things too. Like when my husband and I were moving from the west coast of Canada to a city called Kelowna, we had lived on the coast our whole lives, raised our children there, started ministry there, everything. And then the Lord called us in the year 2000 to make a move to Kelowna, British Columbia. And when we decided that that was the will of God, we built a framework with the Word of God for our move. And every day for 1 month before we moved, we proclaimed the Word concerning that new move. And every day proclaimed it. And we built a framework in the Spirit. We couldn't see it, but we believed that the substance of the promises that we were proclaiming was building that framework. The day that we moved into Kelowna, when we drove in, we said, now we're driving into what's been framed in the Spirit. And you know, every single word that we had over that move came to pass almost instantaneously. Within 3 months, every single word was made manifest. The Word is so powerful. It builds frameworks in the Spirit. Right now, we've got a big project that we're working on for media, and we've got a whole team, I think around 700 intercessors. We're giving them decrees and prayer mandates and that of things to pray and decree over this project because we're building a framework in the Spirit. I tell you, ministry gets really easy when you know how to build frameworks in the Spirit and you understand the way the intercession works for it, because when you send forth the Word ahead of you, it builds a framework so that when you walk into it, it's glory, you know. The Lord has something to pour himself into if there's a wineskin to hold the wine. And so you can use the Word to frame like that, and it builds a wine skin, so to speak, and holds a lot of good things for you. In Psalm 103, verse 20, the scripture says that the Word dispatches angels. And actually, let's go here. I'll probably cover this again when we look at angels, but this is a very cool scripture. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word. So when the word is released, angels go and perform that word. The more word you can proclaim, it gives substance for the angels to perform. And then it says, obeying the voice of his word. Who's the voice of his word? You are. Angels obey the voice of his word. When you proclaim the word of God, you dispatch angels. Angels go to work. Next, Psalm 119:30 says that the word brings light into darkness. The entrance of his word brings light. And so if there's darkness like oppression or depression or sin, if you start injecting that darkness with the proclamation of the word of God, that darkness will dissipate. It's a great way to pray over unsaved people or people in sin or whatever. You just start proclaiming the word into the darkness. The entrance of his word brings light. And so whatever is dark, you can say, let there be light. And find the promises that God wants to give to you. Work with the Holy Spirit in partnership with Him, and He'll quicken the word. And you can speak that word right into the darkness and continue to inject that darkness with light. And the darkness will dissipate. It can't stay if the light is being released. Number 7. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so, of course, as you connect with God and get immersed in the word of God and listen for the Holy Spirit's nudging, you will always be led in light. Your steps will always be ordered of the Lord. Your path in front of you won't be confusing. It'll be clear because the word has the ability to lead you. It has the ability to bring light on the path in front of you. And so that is very powerful. And especially when you're in spiritual encounter, the word will be that light unto your path. Number 8, the word secures blessings for you. In the word, in the scriptures, there are many multitudes of blessings in here. The Spirit will quicken these blessings. Every blessing is yours. Every single blessing is yours. Jesus took all the curses. He took all the punishment, took all the guilt, took all that, and left us with the blessings. So when you read the word, no, all these blessings are yours, and you can have them all. So when you believe in the word, you'll secure the blessings because the word represents the substance of those blessings. When the word says that God will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that's not just a nice thing to say. That is pure, holy, spiritual substance. That is a blessing that is yours. So when you get a hold of that in faith, you can secure that blessing, and then that becomes a reality within your experience. Next, in Mark 4, it says the word is seed. Now, when you sow the seed, it'll always bring back fruit for you. I tell people often, I said, if there's one spiritual law, one law from heaven that you can live by, choose the law of sowing and reaping. Out of all the kingdom laws, all the kingdom principles, you see, the laws of God work for all the people all the time. The law of gravity is a God-created law, and it works for people whether they're Christians or not. It just works because it's a law, and it was created, right? And so there's laws in the kingdom. The law of sowing and reaping, it works for unsaved people as well as it does for saved people. But that one law is an amazing law to live by, because whatever you sow, you will reap. You will get a harvest. There's a covenant made by God to mankind back in Noah's day. And he says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and a corresponding harvest. It's that simple. And it says in the New Testament, in whatever measure you sow, that is what you're going to reap. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Now in Mark 4, it says the sower sows the word. And when you go out and sow the word of God into whatever situation you want to sow it into, for instance, did you know that you can sow the word into your bank account? You can sow the seed of the word into your bank account and make proclamations and get your checkbook out of your bank account and proclaim the word, plant the seed into that bank account. Because it's spiritual substance, you're actually sending it into your account and it'll flourish inside of that account. Do you know that the word concerning salvation and your household salvation, if you were to sow that seed inside of your household every day, it would bring you a harvest. It's promised by the word. In the measure that you sow, it'll be dealt back to you in return. And also whatever you sow, like if you want beans to eat, you have to sow bean seeds, right? Because it's bean seeds that produce beans. You can't sow carrot seeds and get a bean. So if you want household salvations, you have to sow the word of God in your prayer time and in your decrees. Sow that word into your household. All the words about salvation, all words about household salvation, all the word about light going into their darkened minds. All of those kind of words. Get your seed bag. I used to draw little graphs up when I was a new Christian, called my seed bags. And I would sow the scripture into different areas of my life, and all of them flourished. Why? Because the word is substance, and when you put that substance inside of a part of your life, it begins to grow and flourish. And all of our team are blessed people. All of our team, they're just blessed. They're blessed going out. They're blessed coming in. They're blessed in everything that they put their hands to do. Their lives are blessed. Why? It's because they know the principle, because we sow word into them. We sow the word into our team. We sow the word into our partners, our intercessors. We sow the word in there. We know how to inject that word. The sower sows the word. So if you want blessing in any area of your life or anything that you put your hands to do, sow that word into it, and you will be blessed in return. It's just one of the principles of the Spirit, the word. The word is seed. The word is also a weapon of warfare. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is part of our armor, but it's an aggressive part of the armor, because you can take the sword and settle a few issues. You can take a sword and lop off giants' heads. You know, that sword will win many battles for you. And when you're in a turmoil, when things are going bad, we tend to think, oh my gosh, you know, my world's falling apart. Oh, this is so terrible. I'm in such a hard time. If we can change our attitude about that, it'll help. Saying, glory to God, there's a battle. It means I win. The word says the Lord always causes me to triumph. He didn't say 80% of the time. He said, always causes me to triumph. That means I win this thing. All I have to do is get the word on it. What's the word, Holy Spirit? Give me the word on this one. Give me the word on this battle. How's it going to turn out? Give me your promise on this one. Because I'm going to stand and I'm going to fight and I'm going to win. And it shouldn't be a grueling thing like, oh man, I'm in such a battle. It should be, yay. I'm getting to fight and win. This is too fun. I was made for battle. Now we have to remind each other when we're in the battles, because our flesh, it's uncomfortable in battle. I don't know about you, but initially I don't really like them until I figure it out and think, just a minute, this is a battle. Glory to God. I'm made for battle. I'm made for war. And I've got the weapon of the Word of God that will never fail me. If I've got the standard of the word, that settles it. And everything's going to have to line up with this word, or I'm cutting its head off. It has to line up. And I'll often tell the devil, devil, you'll be sorry you ever tried, because the word says this. I win. And I smell a testimony coming on. There's a testimony coming on. And I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of this next testimony that's coming on. I'm going to get so much mileage that it's going to work for good instead of for evil. It is going to work for good for me, and it's going to terrorize you, devil. Because I've got the word on it. When you get that word and you stand on that word, you cannot fail, because that word is such a powerful weapon. There is nothing like the word of God. You know, right now in the United States, there's a lot of fear in the nation about terrorism. But the Bible says that we will be free from terror. The Bible's got all kinds of promises for us that show us that we'll be free from terror. So why would we fear terror if we have the promise we should be going out and interceding for everyone else to be protected, because we're surely protected. We won't be touched by terrorists. We're the devil's terrorists. We are. We are terrorists ourselves. And we are more powerful terrorists than the devil is. We terrorize him. Amen? But you see, if you don't stand on the weapon of your warfare, if you don't use the weapon of your warfare, then what happens is when, you know, all these threats come, oh no, I can see it coming. Oh, we're going to get swallowed up by terrorism. When's the next building going to blow up? Oh, no. Well, we get to stop it. We get to stop it because we're not subject to it, because we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're the one with the sword that cuts off the giant's head. Does that make sense? And I might say this, is that I think there's... We have to get a victory mentality. When you understand the substance of the word, you'll understand the victory mentality. Because there's nowhere in it that says we lose. It's all about winning. In fact, Jesus already stripped the enemy of all of his power. He is powerless. He is a defeated foe. He's been disarmed and defeated. He has no arms, no feet. He just rolls around like an idiot and makes us think he has arms and feet. At the end, the Bible tells us, the word says, at the end, we're going to look narrowly upon him. We're going to squint and say, what? Is this the one that deceived the nations? Are you kidding? That little pipsqueak of an ant thing that has no power? See, we'll see him for what he is at the end, but through the word, we can see him through what he is right now, for what he is right now. If you look at your word, if you see yourself as a victor, then you will experience victory. Your spiritual experience will always be based on what you believe in the word of God. If you want to experience the victory, then get in the word. No Christian should say, oh, I don't know. There's some devils that are just too strong for the church. You know, you got to watch it, because if you go to battle and you know, encounter one of those guys, you could be killed. That's not God talk. Where do you ever see in the Bible that God's people were to back off from the enemy? You won't find it. The only time God's people were ever defeated was when they were in unbelief and sin. That's the only time. The word of the Lord always promises people victory, no matter how strong the enemy was. Even David wasn't even a trained soldier, but he knew God. He knew God because he was out in the sheep pen and a bear would come by, or a lion. I don't know about you, but those aren't nice creatures to have come after you. In Canada, in different parts of Canada, we do have the grizzly bears, and they can be aggressive. We have those Kodiak or whatever they are, bears, and they're aggressive. And some of my friends have encountered them. And they're not, you know, you don't want to meet them every day. But David, he gets to know the power of his God by meeting up with that bear and that lion. Whoa. You look like you're a prey to my, I'm not letting you have my little lambs here. My God is going to go after you. Rawr! You know, and he just learned how to walk with his God and defeat the bears and the lions. And he didn't say, oh, no, it's too strong for me. What am I going to do? I've only got this little thing and it doesn't work. It keeps on me. I can't even get his eyeball. He just went with determination, not trusting in his own ability, but trusting in the power of his God. So when he went out to fight Goliath, it was no problem. It was a principality. Goliath was a big, big, giant enemy standing for the Philistines, wanting all of Israel. And all of Israel was such a cowardly group, because they didn't have their eyes on the greatness of God, but they had their eyes on the greatness of the devil or their enemy. And that's a good lesson for us. David was different. He was a man with a different spirit. He said, wow, this looks like an opportunity. Great opportunity for a little Jewish boy. What do you get for taking this guy out? Isn't that brilliant? Don't you just love that? He had confidence. He had confidence because he knew his God. He knew his God, and he just took that slingshot, and away he went and targeted and took the head off. He just took it back for a trophy. He used to line their tents with trophies. It wasn't moose heads or deer heads. It was giant's heads. It's true. Okay, the word of God also pulls down strongholds, which are in the mind. When you get the word of God surrounding you, get an MP3 player or something playing the word of God all day long, and have the word of God sung all day long or decreed all day long, whatever, and get it inside of you, because what it'll do is it'll go in the spirit, it'll go and pull down mindsets that aren't lined up with God. And it'll create a God fortress in your mind instead of mindsets that are allowing the enemy to control your life, and it'll establish God's mindsets in you. The word of God creates Let there be light. There was no light before God spoke that word. But as soon as he spoke the word, there was light. Amen? Let there be, let there be. The word of God is so powerful that when you take the promises of the word that are quickened to you, which is actual spiritual substance, and you start to decree it into nothing, you'll see something start to manifest in the natural. Every project God gives us to do as a ministry starts with a simple vision. It's not anywhere, it's nothing in the natural, it's not in there. It's non-existent, but it's in here. And then we begin to speak it forth according to the word that God gave us. And he always gives us scriptures too. He always shows us in the scripture what he wants to do. And, you know, we start decreeing the vision, decreeing his word on it. And before long, it just manifests. It happens all the time. And he gives us bigger and bigger projects to do. But it's the same principle. I learned no matter how big it is, it's the same principle as the little ones. You call those things into existence that are not in a visible place, but you call them forth into that place through the word of God, through the word that he gives you, through the vision that he gives you. You start speaking it out, you call it forth, and before you know, there it is, in place. Do you know, a year ago this month, I was in Dudley, England, in a glory school, and I was in worship in the glory school, and the Lord gave me a download concerning a web church that we were to plant. And I got so excited. He gave me all the strategy and everything on it. I got all the strategy, how to do it. It all came in a split second in a package. Oh, I was so excited. It was so clear. So I started decreeing it right away. That's just the way I am. I got up and I said, I just got a download from heaven, you know, and this is it. You know, we're going to do this web church and it's going to be like this and this. And oh, I was so excited about it. I hadn't even talked to the board or our team or anything about it. I just spoke it into existence. Got home, shared it with all of our team. The team got into agreement. They started speaking it out. Oh, this is exciting. This is going to be amazing. We'll gather the outcasts and the scattered. It's going to be wonderful. The people that don't have church homes will have them. Oh, this is going to be awesome. It was just amazing. And so that was the end of September. I came home with that vision. And the team came into agreement. Agreement on the word is so powerful. And I said, and we're going to launch it December 8th. Now remember this, when you're in the glory, things grow quickly. Yeah. They just, and they thought, well, isn't that rushing it a little bit? And I said, no, because December is the 12th month. It's an apostolic month, and 8 is new beginnings. It's got to be December 8th. And so we just decreed it out in the spirit. And on December 8th, we pulled the switch. And, you know, I was expecting, you know, for our first, you know, because we didn't advertise it very much or anything. I was expecting maybe, I don't know, 30. I said, let's get enough pastors to handle, you know, 30 to, well, maybe up to 100 people or so. And we'll give each pastor maybe just 10 people to start so that we can, you know, get used to this. And when we started, we had almost 1,000 members. In 3 different nations, hubs in 3 different nations, 1,000 members after the first month. That's the word of God calling those things that are not as though they are. It wasn't because we did a lot in the natural to even promote it. It was because the word was out there creating it. And now we're doing the same with XP Media. Which we'll share the vision this week with you on that one. Wow! Calling those things that are not as though they are. Okay, the Word of God sanctifies you, sets you apart as holy, and I won't go too much more into that because I'm going to go in the next section into that. The Word of God strengthens your spirit man. It fortifies your spirit man. If you decree the Word of God over your life every day, your spirit man will be more defined for your understanding so that you can tell the difference between your spirit man and your soul. And it will also at the same time renew your mind. So it strengthens your spirit man, but it renews your mind. Number 15, it ensures answers to prayer. When you pray according to the will of God, which is the word of God, he hears you. If you know that he hears you, you know that you have the request that you asked of him. It's a done deal. Amen? And then number 16, separates soul from spirit, which is very similar to what I just shared. You'll be able to rightly divide between what is your spirit man and what is the soul nature, and it'll renew the soul. Amen. The Word of God, the wonderful Word of God. We don't want to engage in the realm of the glory, in the realm of the Spirit, without understanding the importance of the Word of God. Oh, may we be lovers of the Word of God, intense, passionate lovers of the Word of God. Amen. Father, I just pray right now for each and every one of us that we'll be able to grasp the tangibility and the essence of the substance of your Word. And Lord, we ask that you would give us deepened and increased revelation of the Word of God, that we might launch into spiritual encounter and experience within the confines and the perimeters and the empowerment of the Word of God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know that prayer request gets answered?
For more information about Patricia King and XP Media, visit us online at xpmedia.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. xpmedia.com.